Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the mission of Maitreya. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have microphone privilege. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to Maitreya's previous lectures or satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room Discourses by Maitreya. God's Word Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom everyone, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Conversation Room. Let us start our conversation by remembering God the Father, the only Creator in the universe, which created all things, so we all can return to Him and become one with our essence again. And in that march, all of us are brothers and sisters and equals in His spirit. Some of us are a little ahead of others in the path, and some of us are still resisting. So we are marching toward the same God, and He is our salvation. And by focusing on God and making Him number one in our lives, our salvation is guaranteed. And we pray that all humanity, including our families and friends and relatives and acquaintances, realize this truth and bring God to their lives as the most important being, and focus on that light so they can be filled with God, and therefore they can also progress toward the salvation and unity that is the goal of the life, is to become divine, godly, one with the universe, one with God. The good news is we have a website now in Danish language that is being translated and prepared in that language also, so people with understanding of that language also now can have greater access to our teachings, and hopefully this continues and we will have one day translate our teachings and the website translated in all languages, and all can go and read it in their own language. But of course, still we encourage everybody to know English, because that is where the revelation was revealed. It was revealed in that language, and therefore you will know it in a much better way if you know English and you read it directly from the language that it's been revealed in. So, but it is great to see that we have that possibility for those who know Danish but they don't know English. And we welcome all the wonderful work that a lot of people are doing for this mission, and they are spreading it, preaching it, reaching out to humanity and letting everybody know that all regions of the world are unified and there is only one God for all of us, and by creation of the Communists of Light and following the eternal divine path, we all can become one. And also we have a new contact in Portugal, in Europe, and therefore again we are expanding our reach in a greater degree. The sponsor have a question, we go right to his question. Go ahead, sponsor.
I'm wondering if as I learned as a Sayed, S-A-Y-Y-E-D, you should speak Arabic. Is that true? Because I have a friend in town, he don't speak English, he only speak French and Arabic. So if you have a question, maybe you can post it in Arabic, should he proceed?
Okay, being Sayed does not mean that I speak Arabic. It just means that I am from the descendant of Prophet Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad, of course, had the children that who came to Iran, to Persia, and they live there. Actually, Persia or Iran became a refuge for his children, because when they became imam, a lot of political maneuvering was going on, and a lot of other people were believing or claiming they are imam or they are the caliphate or the leaders of Islam, and therefore the Prophet Muhammad's children actually came to Khorasan, a northwest city in Iran, where actually Nader Shah also came from the same area. And of course Nader Shah was also from my genealogy. A lot of them lived them and mingled with the Iranians and had children, and therefore you can still be a descendant of Prophet Muhammad and not knowing Arabic. And that is the case here. Of course, Persian has been influenced with Arabic language, and 75% of Persian is Arabic, although they don't use the same way as Arabs do, and it's been also influenced with Indo-European language, which is different than Arabic. Therefore, it's a language of many influences. And therefore, although there's a lot of Arabic words in Persian language, I probably can understand 5% of Arabic language or not anymore. So if this person wants to ask a question, probably he should translate it in English somehow, and then I can understand what the question is. Or if he knows Persian, I probably can still understand it. So the answer is no. If you are a Sayyid, it is not necessarily mean that you have to know Arabic. Actually, as I said, many of Muhammad's children end up in Iran because many of them were poisoned and killed, and also Shias believe in 12 imams. None of them really survived. All of them were killed with the caliphs or the leaders, and therefore they ran away and came to Iran and lived there. And eventually the last one, of course, vanished and became the 12th imam that they are waiting for him to return. So if he has a question, go ahead and try your best to translate for us, and then of course we figure it out what the question is. Or he can speak to our French. Okay, sure, that would be fine. That would work. And of course, for everybody, two languages I can understand are English, which I never claimed I'm proficient in it. It is my second language, compared with knowing it in this lifetime, I think I'm doing pretty good, but some people come in our rooms and wonder why my English is not perfect, because it is not my first language. Even in the first language, I wasn't that keen in language, and that is not necessary. We have had prophets that they were even illiterate, they had no education whatsoever. Like Prophet Muhammad, and therefore knowing a language or being educated or being perfect in pronunciation or using of the grammar or spelling and all that is not required. The most important is the message that has been brought to humanity, and that can be understood even with a broken language, but I don't think it's that broken, and therefore people still can understand what the message is. Therefore, we can listen to the message and focus on the revelation instead of become a fault finder of why his English is not perfect, why he eats, why he walks, why he talks, why he, you know, wears glasses, and all those things are not important, they are just finding faults. But the truth of it is, what is the message? The message is that all the revelation of God has come to humanity, and all religions are a part of God's revelation. And now, of course, we know what they meant and what they mean with each of them, and therefore we can come together and give this message to humanity and let them know there is only one God for the whole humanity, that the essence of each man has the Spirit of God in it, and therefore we are not separated from each other. We cannot just go ahead and kill one another, especially after this revelation. That will create great karma for those who indiscriminately bring suffering and destruction and wars and kill one another in the name of religion or race or gender or nationality, because there is no separation between any of us. We are the children of the same God. There is no separation or borders among us or between us. We have to overcome and destroy all the narrowness of the mind, and the message is the separation has changed. Now is the time to realize and recognize that we are all brothers and sisters, and we will see that even the history and the relationship between people will go toward that end, and the equity will come more and more among humans, and they will realize that they have no choice but to come together as the children of God. So the message is unity. The message is one God. The message is that God has sent all this religion. If we overcome our understanding, if we throw away the dogmas and man-made religions and realize the plan of God and listen to his words and scripture, we can see he said he will send seven revelation, and the Spirit of God will come to humanity in seventh revelation to man, and now it has. Therefore, we can clearly see that is his plan, and any religion or dogmas or belief which is against this or is not according to this is man-made and is not from God. Openai is asking, what are your feeling about intermarriage between a believer and a non-believer? It can work, but as we said, everybody should become the believer of this revelation, and this is the last revelation of God, and therefore if anybody does not believe in this, of course, the salvation is not guaranteed absolutely, but if there are good people and there are good intention in being godly, and they realize or knowingly and unknowingly that eternal divine path bring great unity and a kingdom on earth, you don't even have to believe anything but following the eternal divine path, and you will benefit from it. Of course, if you believe the rest of the teachings, you will be greatly benefit, but if you don't, of course, follow eternal divine path, which is a path, is not a dogmatic path at all. It is an action that you take in your life. You meditate, you become deep, you understand yourself, and no matter what religion they are in, it says, know thyself to know God, and therefore they can believe in that. The second is to create the communities of light, and every religion talks about the communities, marriage, unity, that, so they can believe in that too. Sacrifice, you can't create a community without sacrifice, and of course being surrendered to the what you have been created for is not a belief, it's something that you have, every individual have to recognize what they have been created for, what is their best talents and ability that they can bring to community, and also shatter all norms of the mind and become, of course, they automatically become an elect. Of course, if you marry someone that is narrow and is not universal and is prejudiced and dogmatic create a different opinion ideas from you, which you are following the eternal divine path, I don't think you're going to get along very well. I think you're going to have a problem. You are expanded, you see God in everyone, and you see that God created everything, and therefore there is no dogma for you, but the other person say, no, my religion better of that, those people's religion, and we should kill them. How can you marry and stand such a situation when you are expanded more than your partner? Both partners, as we said many times, in order for them to become one, they have to become one in God. No two people can become one if they are not one with God. Two physical beings cannot become one. It's impossible. The only way two people in marriage or in any relationship is if both of them are one with God, then that will work. If one of them is one with God and the other one is not, the other person, fall into his or her lower nature, and the one who wants to go to God cannot just stand there and spend time with something that has been fallen. And therefore, the split will come between them, and they cannot continue in that relationship. And therefore, the best way is to marry someone who also wants to go to God, and you want to go to God, and so you can go together. But if you want to go to God and somebody wants to stay in the Maya, I personally do not recommend it at all. It will create problem, there is going to be a great struggle, and you have to carry that person in your shoulder and pull and push and try to bring him to God, and that person is going to pull and push to take you to Maya. But if another person is in another religion, but he is a good person, and realize the base of the eternal divine path and recognize the goodness in this path and follow it, there is no separation between you two. The essence of the teaching is eternal divine path. If anybody follow it, they will benefit from it. Of course, I don't want people in 500 years from now say, Maitreya said, there is no God, just like they say about Buddha. Buddha said the same thing. He said, just know thyself, Sangha and Dharma, create the community and follow your essence. That's going to take you to Nirvana. And don't worry about all those gods in Hinduism. And now, of course, a lot of people say, he said there is no God. And that is not what he said. He said, don't worry about it, and just know thyself and create communities of light. And that is true also here. If you can make your partner see the beauty of the eternal divine path and make him or her follow it, that's great. You can get along fine. And you are going toward the same goal, and he or she actually is following the eternal divine path and is in the mission, and you can become one. But if he or she is in Maya and want to go that direction, don't. I do not recommend it. Actually, we have a problem right now. People come to the mission, they want to go to God, their partner doesn't. And they are struggling with their partner. Some of them have stayed with their partner, but they still know there is a struggle going between them and their partner because and or they are going to different direction, but they have problem. So if you are getting married now, the best way is find someone that is with you. If you are already married, then somehow there has to be some compromises, or one of you have to relent, or you become lukewarm, because then you are split between mission and your partner. So, but the best thing is for everybody become divine. Everybody become the mission of Maitreya, join the mission and realize that this is the last revelation of God and is the best, and therefore, you know, more and more humanity become one with each other, marriage between them become easy and simple. Of course, this is the mission of Maitreya's conversation room. The revelation is that all the religions of the world have come from the same God, and they are not contradictory at all. Actually, they are complementary, and there is no separation between any religions, and all the religions on earth are revealed to man as a part of a greater truth, which is called eternal divine path. And if we understand eternal divine path, we can see clearly the unity of all religions, and the coming of this revelation has been prophesied, that it will come to humanity at the end time. And indeed, we are at the end time, or at the end of the old era or age, and we are going to our golden age, that the truth and reality of God will be understood with man, and dogmas and separation and man-made religion and ideas will no longer work, and humanity will each seek the truth, and they realize that truth is within them. They do not need mullahs or rabbis or fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers in the religion. They don't need gurus or brahmins and lamas. Indeed, as the book said, if you saw Buddha, kill him. Thus, throw all of them away. Even don't be attached to me and my body. I am just here to give you this message to guide you to God directly, as each individual have to recognize and go to God. But of course, also I teach you, get rid of your ego. Don't let your ego become an umbrella between you and God, but take your ego off by following the eternal divine path. Your salvation is assured by these teachings and this revelation, and we do not recommend you to be connected or attached to any dogmas or teacher or guru or any person that become an obstacle in your way, and you will be completely released to the Spirit of God directly. Therefore, this teaching is to give you the salvation, give you the path, give you the way to go to the highest. Go to God directly. You don't need any medium, and understand the word of God in His scripture, and rely on those words, not on people's opinion and ideas, which abounds. And there are many people, they have their own ideas, and they think they know, but it is not scriptural, it is not based on the word of God, and their salvation is not assured. But this is the one that have come to humanity to free them from the darkness, from the dogma, from the religiosity, and from all the bondages that man have created for themselves. It releases you to God, and also it shows how you can create a system based on the communities of light and bring the kingdom of God on earth. And one day we will not have any separation between men and women and children and their parents, and all will be taught godly things, and we create society on earth that is based on the spirit, and the salvation of man will accelerate it in a greater degree. Therefore, see the very explanation that we just gave completely shows we cannot be a cult, because cult is based on the leader's personality and charisma, and therefore people become attached to that person and they forget to go to God. In this mission, we direct you to God, and that is the goal. This is the message. Get rid of all the things between you and God. Get rid of the teachers, get rid of the ego, and therefore you will be connected directly to God and fill yourself with the Spirit of God. If you don't feel the Spirit of God, go to your knees and pray very hard, God, please come to me. Because the more you fill yourself with Spirit and with God, the greater your salvation and your joy and beauty will be. The more you stay with your ego and man-made ideas, you will be separated and you will not feel the salvation that only comes with the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost and the direct relationship with God. Therefore, be one. Indeed, through meditation and the Spirit of God, actually you can change the very makeup of your genes, you know, and healing and all things will come to you. That is why we teach you how to heal yourself in this mission, instead of healing you, because as Christ said, when the unclean spirit leaves a person, which is healed with another person, it goes and finds seven more vicious than itself, and it comes back and sees that the house clean, and it occupies and the state of the man will become worse than it was before. Therefore, do not rely on healers. Learn how to heal yourself. We don't teach you, we don't give you a fish. We teach you how to fish. And therefore, you will have direct connection to the Spirit and God. And therefore, you learn everything that Christ knew, Muhammad knew, Bab knew, great prophets of the Old Testament knew, but Krishna and Shiva and Buddha knew, and whatever other prophets knew, and how they could heal themselves and others, you also will know. But don't heal others, but learn how to heal yourself, and teach others also how to heal themselves. Therefore, meditation is the prayer are the two pillar in your connection to God, and fasting and all those things are the tools and helpful to eventually help you to get rid of your ego, get rid of the dogmas, get rid of any darkness or separation from anything that separates you from God, and therefore you become one with the Spirit. Amina is asking, Maitreya, what is our responsibility to those who are suffering burning of their karma? Our responsibility is to create the communes of light, to create the kingdom of heaven on earth, and eventually we will have enough resources and abilities and environment that we can guide them to become godly and eventually burn their karma and release themselves from bondages. Of course, if you have a specific question, you know, this is a general answer to that question, but you have a specifically for a specific people or person, you know, of course, then, of course, you have to do your best to help them in this situation you are at with this environment we live in, and then prioritize your action to see what action will help humanity in the long run. We can concentrate in few people who have karmas and they have created diseases or mental disability and all that, and therefore we put a lot of effort in a few people, we get very little results. But if we spread this message and bring the communes of light and the kingdom, the sooner we do it, we can create an environment, even those people will be benefited in a greater degree. Therefore, it is the priority in our life. But if our job is to take care of the people that they are suffering, of course, we have to do our best. We have to know ourselves to create a personality and environment that we can help them as much as we could. But of course, you know, that's all we can do. Of course, Amina is asking, children who are being abused. Well, again, the concentration is a lot of children have been abused. It's been abused in the West. It's been abused in the West, South, North. Millions and millions of children that they needed help. And if we concentrate on a few of them, of course, our vision is toward those few. How about the rest that we cannot help at this time? But of course, I understand your job is to work with the children, and you are concerned about how you can help them. You can help them by helping yourself first, by meditating, by knowing yourself. As we talked before, if you are in an environment that they affect you, stay in that calm center of your being and come from that part, and that godly part will help them. Again, we have to create an environment that children should not be abused, and in communities of light, they will not be abused, because community is based on the marriage between two pure couples, and not only that, they also live with another five couples, and they have a group there, and they are all, of course, watching and seeing how the children are treated with the parents, and they will create an environment that there is a kind of a watching each other, and they don't let anybody abuse the children. And therefore, in that environment, children will be taken care of and will not be abused. But of course, you are talking about now that children have been abused, you have to do your best. You know, you help them as much as you could, but at the same time, realize and recognize that in our environment, we have created an environment that the children can be abused easily, because our environment is not godly, and therefore anytime we do not live naturally, anytime we do not bring nature and what is it intended in any situation, we will suffer no matter what it is. That's why it's so important to meditate and see what is the way of nature in every situation. What does God want things happen in this situation? Children have to grow in a family, in a community. If they are not, it is not natural for a child live only with one parent in one apartment, and then of course that parent also have a lot of selfish desire and wants to go out and leave the child with you know, a babysitter, or give to other people that have no love for the child, and not expect that they are not being abused. That is not the nature's way. God did not intend for such an environment. God intended for communities of life. God intended for parents. Therefore, when we go against natural way, then it becomes a selfish way. And selfish way of always creates suffering for those who follow it. Therefore, we have to recognize this. And little by little, create an environment which is based on nature and based on what God intended for any situation. If we create such a situation, less and less we will see the suffering and abuse, and children will grow beautifully and become wonderful people and open and connected and influenced with many influences and energies. But at this time, humanity is living in a very unnatural way. That's why the godly way and natural way has become to them very unnatural. And they do not accept God's way, and therefore they suffer for it. I hope you answered that question, but you have to do your best. But work on yourself first. before you approach children. In this environment, you just can do your best. But the best way is to concentrate on creation of communities of light, spreading of this message, making your life and other people more natural, based on God and nature, and eventually everything else will be taken care of by itself. A sponsor is asking, meditating, is that the first step to begin with, or it depends on people? Well, it really depends on people. There are many people who have been meditating and awakening their spiritual forces for many lifetimes, and in this lifetime they're already meditating, and they have been meditating all their life, and now they come and they see this vision and they see this message, and they say, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's based on the word of God, and I have known many things that Maitreya talks about already. But it brings everything to focus and unifies them and makes everything sense to them. And they say, yeah, I found it. And they're joyful and they say, hooray. And they take the call and run with it. Other people, of course, come here and same vision to them is from devil. And it's Antichrist. It's you cannot unify religion. Then God said at the end time, you know, I will give a vision that it's been hidden from even great prophets. And in that time, you know, I will let all humanity know that I am their God and there is no God beside me. See, the different way people see the same thing is amazing, how different and gap between them. And therefore, that makes the conclusion clear that there have been people that they have been meditating for the last 2,000 years. They are the people that God called elects. They are the people who have been progressing to this point. And of course, meditation is easy for them, and they meditate, and they see the vision, and they love it, and they go for it. And still, of course, we recommend even they meditate. In any way, it's meditation for them. And also, the new way of meditation is given in the mission is the most effective and powerful tool, even for those who have been meditating for many lifetimes, to recognize and realize the stillness between breathing in and breathing out and breathing out and breathing in and staying with it. If you recognize and realize that breathing in and breathing out and the stillness between them and breathing out and breathing in, and that stillness between them, you can stay in that stillness without formal meditation. Therefore, you can meditate all the time. You can walk, you can talk, you can go to work, you can sit, you can you know, read, you can do anything, you know, garden or go to the mountain or whatever. And still that stillness is with you and you are meditating. You are not sitting cross-legged, you are not sitting, you know, and saying, om, om, but you are in the meditation state with the Spirit of God and oneness, and that stillness, be still and know that I am God. Therefore, that recognition, that stillness is the most important part of the meditation. If you reach that and you can keep it with you, all the time, you are connected to God all the time, and therefore you will know His will all the time, and you can overcome, you know, being separated from Him. Therefore, formal meditation become very minimal in your life. You don't have to sit every day and meditate a couple of hours because you have been meditating all day. Of course, it's not easy. It's difficult. It is for the most people, the moment they go to work and the first problem arises, they lose their center and they forget about the stillness and meditation, and of course God is out, you know, and they're connected to the worldly things and they become worldly, and therefore they cannot completely be connected. But if they can practice. Anytime you forgot about that stillness, you say, oh, I forgot. Okay, now I can bring it back. It becomes a meditation by itself. You always forget. You bring the mind back to the stillness. You again forget. You just like in formal meditation. You're sitting there and you are doing the process, and suddenly your mind goes wandering somewhere else and say, oh, no, no, I was supposed to do the process. You bring the mind back to process. It goes again away. You bring it back to process, to the mantra. Eventually you get to the mantra and you use the mantra. You're, you know, considering breathing in and stillness and breathing out. Then your mind wanders to say, no, I have to come back. And this ability to bring your mind back to what you want the mind to think or be is the essence of meditation. It gives you the control over your mind instead of your psychological and emotional problem with which take you away from God and that stillness, and therefore you become more and more in control of your mind instead of those psychological things that become your master. You become the master of the mind, not those creatures and emotional problem. Therefore, that stillness become a constant meditation all during the day. And when you go to bed, of course, you already have been meditating and your mind is calm and no problem. A lot of people have told me they have problem meditating. Of course, eating less meat and drinking a lot of stimulant like coffee and alcohol, you know, it will help your meditation and feeling that stillness. And that's why yogis, you know, absolutely overcame any problem that take the stillness from them and take them to another place. So the whole package is to become a lifestyle that you can be connected to the spirit all the time. Of course, that in this environment we are living now, it's much harder. Hopefully when the comings of lights came and we bring the kingdom of God on earth, the whole community and people always strive to create an environment and situation that people can become more godly and their attention is directed to the higher things. I hope that helped. And Open Eyes asking, what are yours feeling in dealing with long distance relationship between personal and non-personal personal group without face-to-face contact? Can you elaborate what you mean by dealing with the long distance relationship between personal and, I guess I need more elaboration on that. If anybody understand what his question is about, you know, I would like to know, you know, what exactly what you mean. Open Eye, and if anybody understood that question, what are yours? His hand is up. Okay, go ahead and take the mic, Open Eye.
Salam, what I mean is there are people who've got kids' relationship out in the world, and they go into chat rooms and things like that. That sort of inclined, what I meant, is that kids get online, they have long-distance relationship with people, and they, or whatever, when the parents find out, then eventually, what, 1 year, 2 years, they see each other, and they're different to what they say, and they get abused. Mm-hmm. Or something happens, or they get married. Mm-hmm. If that's good, but that's sort of the angle what I was referring to my question. Thanks.
Yeah, well, that is one of the problem that they have been dealing with in all over the world. I don't know how it is in Australia, but they have had problems that especially teenagers, they get together and meet someone in the internet, and they then run away from the home and go to that person, and sometimes even they are you know, pedophiles and abusers, and they get in trouble. And therefore, the supervising of the children by parents, teaching them the right way, bringing them wise and smart, and explaining to them the dangers in the external world and how they can protect themselves, and make them aware that these dangers exist and they are not just kidding or something that they can deal with them, and make them be that realize strangers that danger, or is a saying that it says to the kid from the very beginning, some strangers come to the kid, and sometimes, they get themselves in trouble by following that strangers, and that's why in the United States have Amber Alert set up, that if a kid is stolen, then Amber Alert goes out to whole nation, and police and the security system come to a higher gear, and everybody look for that kid to find them and rescue them, and it's been helping a lot. Many kids have been recovered by that system. So the responsibility starts with the parents. The parents are chosen for children to be brought up godly, to be brought up aware, to be brought up realize that there are strange and crazy people out there, that they are not godly, and they are absolutely have lost their mind and their connection to any human understanding or feelings, and therefore they are dangerous there. And the internet, of course, is very easy. With a couple of click, you go to a chat room, and there are people that they predators, and they're looking for a vulnerable teenager or kids that they do make them do things that of course the teenager, they think they're invincible, and therefore they go, and they think they can handle things, but of course they don't, because teenagers are people that are going from the being kid to adult, so they are in that state that they are still children and think like a child a little bit, but at the same time they are going to the adulthood. The adulthood, they say they are adult, they can do whatever they want, but the childhood still doesn't have the experience to be able to handle things properly. So they need supervisor, supervision, and all that. Of course, if there are two adults, they meet each other on the internet, even then, of course, the adults have to be very aware of, what they get themselves into. But if it worked and they met and they loved each other and find out, everything worked for them, that's great. That might work. I don't know. That's another study. Somebody can study how many of those people they meet in internet and get married or like each other, eventually stay together, as married people, and bring God to their life and relationship. Probably most of them don't think about God in their relationship. But that is the whole idea of Communist of Light. In the Communist of Light, children grow together. They grow, become 15, 16, 14, 15 years old, they know each other pretty good. And therefore, finding a partner is very easy, because the community knows both of them, they know each other, and they base life based on God, and when they come together and marry, that marriage should be in a greater degree. So long distance relationship, according to what you explained to me, is a very, very tricky subject, and the people who get engaged with such a things have to be very careful to what they're getting themselves into. Go ahead, open eye.
Thanks for that answering that question. There's another angle. What most people do is that, I don't know what happens all around the world, but people here in Australia assume that even groups such as this or any other group, without meeting anyone to see who they're speaking to, that sort of angle also, if you can answer that in kind, because even family members of mine or friends, well, have you met them yet? that's sort of also the other angle I'd like you to answer, meeting groups. Thanks.
Okay. Do you mean just they talk to each other or in a chat room? Or, you know, they used to have a pal that they used to send, you know, letters together, a letter pal or whatever it's called. And even before internet, people used to send each other letters and get to know each other and talk about their family. I think actually my son had that kind of a pal when he was a child, and they wrote to each other back and forth. If the people only talk to each other and share, you know, family pictures and things like that, that's fine. You know, I don't think that's going to bring much of a harm. But if there is any other kind that it goes farther than that and brings other kind of relationships and goes away from a basic relationship between, you know, two persons, and it might become harmful, then of course anything is harmful. The children have to be awakened to. They have to be taught and make them recognize and realize that what they do can have danger in what they're doing. So that is the awareness of the parents, and that's when the parents come in. They have to become aware themselves of their environment and how things are, and if there's anything that the child is doing that might harm them, it is their responsibility, this parent's responsibility, to bring to their attention, to make them become realize and recognize that, yes, you know, there is a danger in what they do. So, but of course, you know, there are many things that the societies in this time believe there is no harm in them, and they teach our kids, which still are harmful. Even then, of course, you have to do your best to make them aware of their situation and how it can harm them. As I said, teach them the most natural way, the godly way, the way that God intended for things to be, and do your best. But of course, there is a time, reaches a point that you have to let them go when they're 18 years old and 17, 18, and they have finished their high school and they're going to college and or leaving home, getting job. Eventually, you have to bring them up aware. You have to do your best. You have to tell them everything about life, that it's danger, you know. Of course, when I was growing up, we didn't even close our doors. Now, of course, you have to put a couple of very big locks on it and all that. So the situation changes as human progress. So our environment is different now as it was when we were growing up, but we have to become aware of our environment, danger of the internet, danger of the schools, what the teachers teach our children, you know. You might not agree with all of them either, and they might even harm your child if they teach something which is not godly. So you can bring them to that awareness that what they are taught are not godly, and therefore guide them to godly things. But at the same time, it reaches a point to have to let them go. You know, just like a bird that the parents feed them and bring them up, but it's a time that they have to flow away and go and fly by their own wing and make their own mistakes and learn from it. So there is a point in child life that you have to sever the relationship, not completely throw them out of the house, you know. Of course, they always can come back and you are there for them, but at the same time, they can fly away. So bringing up children in the childhood till they become teenager, you have to teach them, you have to guide them. When they are teenager, you can discuss things together with them. You become more a two-way relationship with them. Treat them as an adult, as a partner, as an equal, so you can create a rapport and discussion about the problems they have and they might have. And when they are 18 and the time is going to fly, let them fly. But of course, if they ever came and want your advice, you always will be for them to advise them and guide them. So that is the way you bring the teenager and children that they are well taken care of, nurtured, and advised, and brought up. And when they're adult, of course, they will become aware of their environment so they don't get themselves in danger either. Okay, I guess our time is up. I don't see any other questions. And if there is any specific question you want to ask, if you put the question in general terms, of course, they will be answered in general terms. If you put in a specific situation, we try to understand that situation and deal with them. But again, the salvation of humanity is the creation of the commerce of light based on the eternal divine path and bringing God and nature and natural way in all levels of our lives and understand what nature intended for every situation, the Dharma of every situation. And by doing that, we can bring the kingdom of God on earth and eventually create environment that these questions really does not apply at all, because everybody will be godly in a higher level. I leave all of you to God, and we end up our session today here. And be with God and know that your salvation have come through this teaching, and guide others to realize and recognize they have to get rid of the dogmas and darkness and bondage and free themselves to God. Salam everybody. Till next time.